Okay, I'm open for questions. We're open for questions. Yes, go ahead.
Bonjour.
You said that there will be impact on patients with job action.
Yes.
What impact?
Well, again, at all healthcare facilities, the workers will be on strike, and the consequence of that is that there will be reduced services. Our commitment is that emergent and urgent healthcare services, both in long-term care and in acute care hospitals, will be maintained. And so the number of these healthcare workers who are on strike will, in fact, be working as essential service workers. But the, in terms of the effect on the public, there will be an impact on the public, and we're asking the public for their support and their understanding in this time when we're, in fact, fighting to protect the system. Yes.
So could you give us some examples of essential services, and could you give us the scale of the strike? Is it rotation or anything like that?
Okay, in terms of what essential services mean, it means that at some hospitals there will be fewer operating rooms that are open. Some of the outpatient services will be canceled or reduced. In long-term care, it means that some of the activities in the long-term care facility will be reduced. That's what essential service means. It does mean, however, that if you have an emergency situation, you will go right into emergency and you will be treated right away. So there's no question in terms of urgent or emergent care that will be maintained by union members. The second question relates to the issue of what form will the job action will be, and we've said that essentially with the expiry of 72 hours notice on Sunday, we will institute a province-wide ban on overtime, and then we will expand our job action to other forms like picketing, sit-ins, and rallies.
What do you say to the patients, the thousands of British Columbians who are going to be impacted by this action you're taking, and would you consider going directly to binding arbitration right from the start to prevent the suffering from taking place before you may end up in that anyway?
Okay, in answer to your first question and to what I say to patients and to people in British Columbia who need health care services is we've got to defend the system, we've got to protect it, we've got to make it better. And unfortunately, this is the only alternative that we have at the moment to make it better. We've tried through the bargaining process, sitting down with health employers to problem solve. We've got proposals that will improve the system, and they have all been rejected. In relation to binding arbitration, that's not an option. We want to negotiate and solve problems together. We can do that.
The Vancouver General Hospital, May 1st, the kitchen staff are supposed to be replaced by privatization. Do you see this, now that there's a labor dispute taking place, do you think that will go ahead, or do you think that because there's a labor dispute that you call these people replacement workers now?
We're hopeful that we can prevent the privatization and the sell-off of food services and other services around the province. Our proposal at the bargaining table is to stop what they're doing, and in fact stop while we're talking, and then to gradually reverse the privatization that's taken place already. I mean, we've sold off our infection control and all labor, Lower Mainland and Fraser Valley hospitals to those foreign companies, and we've got to get it back. So that's in our proposals, in our bargaining position.
John Harrison from the Province newspaper. Are you worried about the government using this as a chance to put in strike breakers, the legislation they haven't got to yet?
The use of strike breakers in British Columbia is illegal, and we expect it will remain illegal.
Chris, I'm a little confused about you're talking about an overtime ban with possible expansion of action. At the same time, you talk about essential services and some ORs closing and whatnot. So, effective midday Sunday, will the hospitals throughout the province be at essential service level?
At or close to, they will be moving towards it. That's what the 72-hour notice provision is a requirement, which we agree with, and that will allow the hospitals, together with healthcare workers, to put essential services in place as of midday on Sunday.
What percentage of your members will have to report for work up to 43,000?
It varies, and it's very hard to give you a global number. It varies from place to place. As you can imagine, in long-term care facilities where seniors cannot be sent home because that is their home, then the essential service levels are very, very high. In the nursing areas where our licensed practical nurses and care aides work in hospitals and RNs work Obviously, the essential service levels are quite high. But in clerical areas or outpatient areas and in other places that are downsizing as a result of the strike notice, the essential service levels are quite low.
Why don't you have pickets up right off the bat?
Well, as I say, our strategy is essentially to minimize impact on patients and residents, and they may well be picket lines. As I was saying, immediately on the expiry of 72 hours notice, it's an overtime ban, and it will be expanded, sometimes relatively quickly. We're essentially not announcing that in advance, to picket lines, rallies, and sit-ins.
Back to BGH for a second. Are you going to apply to the Labor Relations Board to stop the implementation of the new contract May 1st affecting the people in the kitchens?
That's not an option that's available to us. The way to stop the privatization of food services is, in fact, to negotiate its halt and look at alternatives. We've got proposals at the bargaining table to do that.
Okay, I have a question from Victoria. Let me ask Bill. There's a superbug that's emerged in Nanaimo General Hospital. Do you think that privatization, as it expands, will lead to more of that kind of thing?
Unfortunately, I think there's no question about it. If you are paying staff between $9 and $10 an hour, the turnover for those staff is going to be very high. And those staff are extremely exploited and are not provided with appropriate training. Just stop and think. Infection control at every hospital, from Vancouver General to Hope, is now in the hands of three foreign companies, not in the hands of British Columbians and not directly in the hands of health authorities. That's a serious problem, and we really have to be very alert to the danger of giving infection control to someone else to take care of.
But do you have any evidence that that's what led to it at the Nanaimo General Hospital, or this might have occurred anyway?
Absolutely. Outbreaks of infection in hospitals do occur. They occur in the normal course of events. The issue is, do you have people on the front line who are highly skilled, dedicated, and experienced? If you don't, you risk it being worse. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.